Our next speaker, Ruth Conniff, has been with the Progressive magazine almost since she just got out of high school. She started at the Progressive at a very young age, stayed on to be our Washington bureau chief, and then eventually editor-in-chief of the magazine here in Madison, Wisconsin. She now serves as editor-at-large for the Progressive and is also editor-in-chief of the Wisconsin Examiner, a brand new online news service covering Wisconsin politics on the internet. Let's welcome Ruth Conniff.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to virtual Fighting Bob Fest 2020. This setup reminds me a little bit of the virtual Democratic Convention in Milwaukee. And while I miss being with you in person, I commend Norm Stockwell and the whole team at the Progressive Magazine for being flexible and responsible during these strange times of pandemic and affliction. Here we are on the cusp of the 2020 presidential election, situated at ground zero in our swing state, in a time of unprecedented crisis and uncertainty. And right now, Joe Biden is ahead of Donald Trump in the polls, but the outcome of the next election is far from certain. Mike Pence has sure been here a lot lately, touting the Trump administration's fantastic job creation record and great economy, all before the pandemic, of course, which, thanks to Trump's bungling, not only tanked the economy and caused depression-era rates of job loss, but cost the lives of tens of thousands of people who would not have died had the government taken the pandemic seriously instead of forcing states to compete for scarce resources and reassuring Americans that the whole thing would just disappear by Easter. Denial is the key Republican strategy this year. That, plus a deeply divisive and racist call for law and order, and the violent crackdown on Black Lives Matter protesters who are reacting to police killings of Black people. The law and order message is a convenient distraction from how disastrously Trump has governed. But as bad as all that is, it's not a sure loser for Trump. I just got back from a few days talking to farmers in rural western Wisconsin, where the giant Trump banners are waving over cornfields. And many of the people I spoke with voted for Trump in 2016 and have since endured a record terrible economy, low milk prices, the worst in the nation rate of farm bankruptcies, and a lot of Trump policies that made things quite a bit worse, including trade wars and tariffs that wreaked havoc with commodity prices, especially Wisconsin cheese. Not to mention the bungled handling of the pandemic and the subsequent economic collapse. Yet the Trump-voting farmers I checked in with were once again planning to vote for Trump. Part of the reason is a kind of congenital rural Republicanism that seems almost impermeable to events. Part of it is that farmers have had a big infusion of short-term relief after the CARES Act passed, and so things are not looking as bad economically as they were just a few months ago. But some of the farmers I interviewed were Obama-Trump voters, and what they liked about Obama in 2008 is the same thing that they seem to like about Trump. Even after 4 years in office, they see him as an outsider, not a slick Washington politician, and someone who sticks up for people like them, working class people, who are generally looked down on by liberal elites. Why am I telling you this? Isn't it bad enough that we're living through this colossally incompetent administration, which has caused tens of thousands of unnecessary deaths by neglecting public health, and is now stirring up white vigilantism in places like Kenosha, Wisconsin, where a person, Kyle Rittenhouse, who Trump has tweeted his support for, murdered two protesters? Things are really bad. And so I'm sorry to tell you about my visit with the farmers, and I don't blame you if it drives you nuts. But I think we need to go into this next election with our eyes open. Now, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have also been coming to Wisconsin a lot lately. And it was the first time when they visited Kenosha that either of them had made it since the campaign began. And they showed a lot of decency, meeting with the family of Jacob Blake, the man who was shot 7 times in the back by a Kenosha police officer, and making the case for a more humane and decent politics. Biden was not the first choice of progressives, including younger voters who are still trying to muster some enthusiasm for him. And one of the reasons it's dispiriting to talk to Republicans in rural Wisconsin is that appealing to those folks is one of the central arguments for the Biden nomination, and frankly, it seems to me, from my own sample, it's not working particularly well. So Black and Latino voters and young people need to come out in force to change the outcome of the next election. We're going to have 4 more years of Donald Trump. As Harris put it, Milwaukee, we need you. It's been hard for us to grasp that Trump not only won in 2016, but could be reelected. I think we're in a kind of suspended state of disbelief ever since the day after the election in 2016. How did we end up with Trump? How can he be as outrageously destructive and incompetent and venal as he repeatedly proves that he is? Well, it turns out he appeals to a big sector of American society, and it's really ugly. White supremacy, American triumphalism, crazy right-wing conspiracy theories, and just straight-up denial of the reality of the pandemic and our country's decline are appealing to enough motivated voters to re-elect Trump. And on top of that, he appeals to people like the farmers I spoke with, who just don't trust politicians or the system and dismiss what the media tells them as part of the same elite insider group. And it's not without some basis in fact. It makes it really hard for mainstream politicians like Biden or the mainstream media to make a dent. Against all of that stands not the fundraising power of the Democratic Party, but the fractious coalition of the sane, the peaceful, and the truly progressive, the reality-based community. That includes the Black Lives Matter demonstrators Trump derides as thugs who are calling on America to live up to its most basic ideals. And it includes the League of Women Voters and other civic groups who are going to court to try to prevent the outright theft of the next election. Will the reality-based community be able to save our democracy? We don't know yet. The good news is that as terrible as things have gotten, it's prompted a lot of people to wake up. On April 7th in Wisconsin, in our pandemic election, with only five polling places open in Milwaukee, and a foregone conclusion in the presidential primary, and just a spring state Supreme Court race on the ballot, a usually low turnout affair, people waited in lines around the block to vote and removed a right-wing hack from the bench who had been appointed by Republican Governor Scott Walker. This year, as door-knocking and other traditional methods of voter turnout have been canceled, you see activist groups like Milwaukee Black and Voces de la Frontera running highly effective voter engagement campaigns using social media and text messaging. So there is hope. And there was the awesome spectacle of the sports walkout to protest the Jacob Blake shooting and the entire horrific Republican convention supporting white vigilanteism. That walkout was kicked off by the Milwaukee Bucks. And one of my favorite things about the awesome spectacle of the sports boycott was that so many beloved NBA stars focused attention on Wisconsin's Republican legislature. This is really important because Wisconsin is so gerrymandered that the Republicans control both houses of the legislature, despite Democrats winning every single statewide race in 2018. They've grown completely accustomed to doing whatever they want and thumbing their nose at Governor Tony Evers when he calls special sessions to deal with matters of great public concern, from school shootings to the farm crisis to police reform. But this time, when the Republicans went through their usual contemptuous routine, gaveling in and out after 30 seconds of a session that was supposed to deal with systemic racism and reforming the police force, the world was watching. Surely there are things to talk about right now, right? Bucks guard Kyle Korver said. Surely there are things our state needs leadership on. The Bucks coach also expressed his displeasure with the legislature. At the end of the day, he said, feels like there's work to be done and they're not doing it. It doesn't seem like we're getting governing from the people who were elected. It's about time people really started to notice that. And the Bucks decided to lead it. And that's really the only way we're going to get out of this mess. We surely are not going to be saved by the Joe Biden campaign. We won't be saved by middle-of-the-road Republican voters deciding they like Biden because he's the inoffensive choice. The only thing that's going to save us is an uprising of people across the country, starting right here in Wisconsin, demanding a better vision of society and calling out the destruction, greed, and real evil of our current government for what it is. And also, people demanding better than they've been getting for years and years. Because neither the farm crisis, nor police shootings of Black people, nor our unfair and unequal economy began with Donald Trump. It's going to take leadership by the people to make real change. And that's something we're seeing taking shape across the country right now. It's not a sure thing, but it's inspiring, and it's our last best hope. So be encouraged, progressives. Forward.